We want to welcome you to our Sunday evening service. It is the start of our testimony month, just to remind you that every Sunday evening in February, we'll be having special testimonies. We ask you to please share these recordings as widely as possible. We want the testimonies to be a means of evangelism, and we're very glad of your help in that work. The testimony this evening will be given by our good friend and colleague, Pastor Dennis Lyle. Pastor Lyle formerly pastored in Lurgan Baptist in the latter years of his ministry. He's now retired. Whenever I was growing up as a teenager in the Carriduff area, Pastor Lyle was the pastor in Carriduff away back in those days. And the friendship and fellowship has continued ever since that time. We're very thankful for that. All the encouragement that our brother and his good wife Catherine have been to us. He still looks the same. He hasn't aged in all the years that have passed. And we thank the Lord for his good hand upon his servant and how he's blessed his ministry. We're delighted to have our brother testify for us on the first Sabbath evening of this testimony month. And we want to thank him for recording his testimony for us. We appreciate the added challenges just to giving his testimony for us this year. We'd have liked to have had him here in the congregation present, but we do appreciate our brother recording the testimony for us and the others also who will follow every other Sabbath evening. So Pastor Lyle's going to come and bring his testimony to us just now.
I'm turning in the Word of God this evening to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33. And as you turn and find the place, I want to thank the Reverend McMill and the leadership of the Armagh Free Presbyterian Church for the opportunity tonight to come along and give my life story and testimony. Reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and the verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. Ending at verse 38, And may the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his own inspired and inerrant word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help as we give our testimony this evening. Our God and our Father, we bow with a sense of humility and reverence in thy holy presence tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for that day and so many of our experiences when we were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And Lord, we pray that as we seek to give our testimony this evening, that it might be to the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for those who listen tonight, that even those who are still unsaved and unwashed and unprepared and undone in their sin, O God, we pray that thou wilt speak to them tonight and even pluck some of them as brands from the burning. We need thy help. We look to thee in the Savior's name. Amen. If I were to ask you this evening, why did the Lord Jesus die? I wonder how you would respond. From every human viewpoint, the death of the Lord Jesus was a triumph of injustice and inhumanity. And yet he died willingly. He could have called 10,000 angels to rescue him, but he refused. Instead, he willingly surrendered himself to the hands of wicked men, dying on a cross. But why? People die for a variety of reasons. Old age, cancer, heart disease, kidney problems, accident, suicide, coronavirus. Some are even martyred for their faith. But why did the Lord Jesus die? There are at least three answers that the New Testament gives to that question. First of all, Christ died that we might live through him. John says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Christ died that we might live through him, that salvation. The Word of God describes us as dead spiritually. We're on the mortuary slab. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." This was exactly my condition before a holy God. I was lost. I was sinful. I was dead. I was not alive to the things of God. I was on that broad road that leads to the very pit of hell itself. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Christ died that we might live through him. As I look back on my life this evening, I recognize there were certain things. First of all, there was instruction through the Word. I was instructed in the Word of God privately. You remember what Paul said concerning Timothy, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." That was my privilege also. My name is Dennis Lyle, and I was born in Banbridge in the county of Down. You ever wonder why your parents give you the name that you have? Mine must have been reading the Christmas edition of Dennis the Menace. Anyhow, like many of you to whom I speak tonight, I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. From earliest days, I saw in my dad a man who honored the Son of God, obeyed the Word of God, sought the face of God, was involved in the work of God, encouraged the people of God, and had a burden for those without God. Sometimes folk meet me and say, "You're the image of your dad." In looks, perhaps, in godliness, there's a long way to go. But this was the environment in which I was reared. From earliest days, I heard the old story of Jesus and his love. Young folk tonight, don't take your Christian heritage for granted. Don't take your gospel privileges for granted. Don't take your Bible-believing church for granted. I was instructed in the Word of God privately. Moreover, I was instructed in the Word of God publicly. The little building that used to stand on the Newry Road in Banbridge, but now is demolished, was the birthplace of many precious souls. And from that pulpit, through the ministry of faithful men of God, I was left in no doubt about my ruin in Adam and God's remedy in Jesus Christ. I remember I had an old Sunday school teacher. His name was Bob French. And I remember giving him a hard time in the Sunday school. And I can see this old saint yet with his big overcoat, a pair of boots, and mints in his pocket, making his way from Lennon Hall Street to Newry Street down to the Baptist Church. And through that dear man of God, I heard about a Savior's love. I wonder tonight if you enjoyed these privileges. Is there a father in the glory tonight, and you recall him instructing you in the Word of God and in the way of salvation? Is there a mother in heaven tonight, and you recall her tears as she cried to God for your soul? Could it be tonight that you're still unsaved and still unprepared and still unwashed and still undone in your sin, in spite of instruction, your instruction through the Word of God? As far as I was concerned, there was instruction through the Word. There was also salvation by the blood. You see, that's the only way that you and I can be saved, through faith in His blood. Thank God tonight for the precious, powerful, prevailing blood of Jesus Christ. And so it was through home life and church life that God spoke to me definitely, personally, specifically. One Sunday evening when I was about 9 years of age, I come home and I was deeply troubled. And my father took out the Word of God and he led me to the Savior. I'm not sure if you know where the DUP offices are in Banbridge, but they're in 8 Refreyland Street, and that was our home. My father was the local barber, and the barber shop was downstairs, and we lived upstairs. And many times when I'm walking down Refreyland Street with my wife Catherine or with my grandchildren, I'll point to the window and I'll say, "That's where it happened. That's where I cast my first anchor. That's where I was gloriously saved." I could take you to the spot, dear friends, where I prayed in childlike simplicity into my heart. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I was only a child, but with childlike faith, I came to Christ. Indeed, is that not how we must all come to the Savior? The Lord Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." I want to ask you tonight, have you come with childlike faith to Christ? Maybe you're 9 years of age or 19 years of age or 90 years of age. My dear friend, whatever age you are tonight, Christ is the answer to your every need. That night, although just 9 years of age, the burden of sin was gone. What does a little boy of 9 years of age do when he gets saved? He prays, and I did. He attends church, and I did. He goes to the children's meetings, and I did. You know, it wasn't long before I realized that there was an enemy of my soul called Satan, and he was on my track. And it wasn't that long into my Christian experience when I began to lose my edge for God and love for Jesus Christ. You know, God's people can backslid. God spoke through Jeremiah and he says, "Turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you." I wonder tonight, have you lost your edge for God? Have you grown cold in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you left your first love? I certainly did. This was a time in my life when I changed school and changed company. And these were days when football played an important part in my life. And if I wasn't playing football, then I was watching football. No harm in that. Except the company was godless and the language was atrocious. Wonder tonight, are you going to places where the Savior's name is being dishonored and the Savior's blood is being despised and the Savior's finished work is being trampled underfoot? You remember what the psalmist says. He says, "I'm a companion of all them that fear thy name." Young folk tonight, watch your company. They will make you or break you. Wrong company often leads to wrong conduct. And this guy who had a godly home and a gospel church was now sinning against the Lord. I was like many teenagers. I thought that I knew better than my parents. I was a real rebel. And by now I was frequenting places and indulging in practices that I'll not mention this evening. The world's philosophy was mine. Eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that what the prodigal thought? He wanted to be free. He wanted the good times to roll. I wonder tonight, is that what you think? Well, if you do, you've swallowed the devil's first lie. That's what I did. This was weekend living. And yet in those days of rebelliousness and sinfulness, There's a memory etched in my mind that always stands out. Remember coming in late on a Saturday night and turning the key in the door and making my way through my father's barber shop. But just before I went upstairs, I turned and looked into the lounge. And through the glass panel, I could see a man on his knees pleading with God for his wayward son. Thank God, God heard his prayer. God saw his tears. And God answered the cry of that man of God. Mothers tonight, fathers, have you a wayward son? Have you a wayward daughter? Have you a family tonight that's not saved? Have you someone this evening who's in the far country who's backsliding? Well, every time you look at this preacher, remember God, your God, is a God who hears and answers prayer. Teenager tonight, I wonder, are you just like me? Maybe you're breaking your father and mother's heart. Maybe you know tonight a father who's praying for you, a mother who's weeping for you. Maybe you're a backslider tonight, and if you are, you're in the worst possible position. For the Word of God says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, dear friends, my personal sin was beginning to weigh heavy upon me. I was beginning to realize that sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. I was still attending church. Indeed, I remember it was just another Sunday evening, no different from any others. And as usual, I was expected to go to the Sunday night service. And I can recall making my way into the little church, going to the back of the gallery so that I could twist and turn and chatter and try and disrupt the meeting without too much attention. But I remember that night was different from every other night. For as I took my seat at the back, as I took my place in the back of the gallery, the Spirit of God began to work in my heart. I remember the pastor preaching on the prodigal son, and the Spirit of God was painting a picture of me. After the meeting that evening, the boys were standing in Uri Street waiting for me. But I made my way as quick as I could home, the tears coursing down my cheeks. And later that night, the pastor came to our home. And that very night, in the same place where I had initially placed my trust in Christ, I committed my life to Him, confessed my sin, committed my life afresh to the Savior, and the Lord restored me to the joy of His salvation. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone just like me? Have you been brought up in a godly home? Have you professed faith in Jesus Christ? Are you here this evening listening to my voice and your backslidden in heart? My dear friends, God loves you and He longs for you to return to Him. Will you return to Him this evening? Here's why Jesus Christ died. Christ died that we might live through Him, that salvation. Something else. Christ died that we might live for Him, that service, Paul says, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Christ died my death for Him, that I might live His life for Him. He died my death for me, that I might live His life for Him. He died that I might live for Him. I wonder tonight, are you living for the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord? You know, when you know the Lord, you want to do something for Him, do you not? I recall the first years. I used to stand with a group of men in Uri Street and Banbridge every Saturday night and preach the gospel to those who were going into the dance hall across the street. We used to cross the border and go down into the center of Dundalk, and those were great days. And the Bible was living, and Christ was precious, and souls were being reached and saved. And then came my first opportunity to speak. A friend of mine took ill. And I had to go to Tommy Ryan's little mission hall on Potstick Road in Scarva and seek to preach the gospel for Christ. Soon more invitations came to preach the word. These were days when I enjoyed the Lord. I enjoyed His word. Tuesday nights at Lurgan Baptist Church were especially precious, and what a debt I owe to the late Willie Mullen. Soon a conviction was growing that days of secular employment might be coming to an end. I might say at this particular time in my life, a Christian young lady, a staff nurse in Banbridge Hospital, a Free Presbyterian, if you please, come into my life, who greatly encouraged me in the things of God. We talked about the work of God. We talked about Bible college. And this conviction for Bible college was growing. And I felt my need of concentrated Bible study. But what about the call of God? A word from the Lord that would seal it all. One evening I was home alone. I was reading, I was praying, I was seeking the face of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me personally and clearly and specifically through one verse, Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to leave my work and go into training and trust you for the future. And immediately the devil said, what if this means leaving your family, your country, your security? I had thought about this, but I was determined to take what I sensed to be the next step. In 1972, I entered the Baptist College on the Sandown Road in Belfast. I recall the first day very well because the first night I was ready for home. I approached a student and I said to him, how many nights do you get out of this institution? And he said, none. It was worse than Alcatraz. The boys in McGabry had more freedom. Well, the Lord undertook for me in Bible college. But I decided that 1 year was long enough to live in the premises of the Irish Baptist College. And the only way that I could get out was to get married. And so in 1973, I took the plunge. And Catherine and I got married in the old Free Presbyterian Church on the Waveney Road in Ballymena. And the Reverend William McCrae married us. And thank God the glue is still holding fast. You know, dear friends, when we got married, we hardly knew where we were going to live. We started life in Randallstown. The Lord had gone before. He prepared the way and we started life in Randallstown. And for 2 years, I traveled from Randallstown to Belfast every day. And those were times when we proved the Lord. We proved the Lord financially, intellectually, spiritually. You say, did Bible college help you? Do you know what it taught me? It taught me two invaluable lessons. The first was this. How little I know of this wonderful book, the Bible. The second was this. It taught me the discipline of study. My dear friends, there is no substitute for hard work. You see, the God who called me was now enabling me. He was now preparing me. He was now directing me. The first years led to the further years. Paul asks a question in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? All that I am. All that I have. All that I ever hope to be is from the Lord. In 1975, I finished in college and an invitation came from Cary Duff and I responded to the call of God there. In 1987, a call came from the Iron Hall Assembly in East Belfast and I responded to the call there. In 1998, an invitation came from Lurgan Baptist and I responded to the call there. I believe that pastoral work is the most difficult of all Christian service, but I can say with Paul, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. What blessings the Lord has showered upon me. No greater blessing than serving the Lord and seeing others come to the footstool of the cross. The Christian life, it's the hardest life. It's the happiest life. It's the holiest life. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The first years, the further years. What about the final years? Because some of you tonight to whom I speak, and myself included, we're not as young as we used to be. But you know, my dear friends, tonight, you can have still some snow on the roof and have a fire in the furnace to the glory of God. Christian friend tonight, don't give up the battle. Don't retire until God retires you and promotes you to glory. You remember old Caleb at 85 years of age, this octogenarian said, give me this mountain. Older folk tonight, is this your watchword? As you near the old age, have you lost the spirit of adventure? Are you hesitant to take another step of faith for God? I don't know about you tonight, but I want to finish well. I want to hear the well done, good and faithful servant. Christ died that we might live through him. That's salvation. Christ died that we might live for him. That's service. Here's the third thing. Christ died that we might live with him. That's satisfaction. Paul says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. He died that we might live with him. Is that not what he promised to the disciples the evening before he went to the cross? The Savior said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a comfort for the saint. When those of us who are saved by the grace of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ will step into the Father's house. What a happy ending. I heard about a little boy called Jonathan. He had been promised a new puppy for his 6th birthday. His mommy took him to the local pound, and there were so many dogs and puppies there, he had a hard time choosing the one that he wanted. And finally he picked one up into his arms, a shaggy little pup standing there. It was wagging its tail furiously. And they popped Jonathan, a little pup, in the car, and they drove home. And when they got home, the mother said to her little 6-year-old boy, Jonathan, why did you choose that one? Why that one? He said, Mommy, I wanted the one with the happy ending. You talk about a happy ending. We're going to see his face. John says, we shall see him as he is, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture we behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Oh, when my train turns into Grand Central Station in glory, I think my dad will be there. How much I owe him. How he prayed for me and agonized for me when I was in the far country. And I think he will say, well, son, how did you get along? And I'll say, well, pretty well, and I owe a lot to you. And together we'll gaze on the face of our beloved Savior. And friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow, and yet just a smile from the Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. What a comfort for the saint. What a challenge for the sinner. Think of this. In 100 years, every soul listening to my voice will be in eternity. The question is, where? Can I remind you tonight, as I bring my life story to an end, that there is an eternity? Paul says, the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. I stand on the shores of time and cry out, eternity, eternity, how long art thou? And back comes the call, when 10,000 years have passed, eternity will have just begun. My friend, tonight, how long will you have to live? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and then it will be all over, and then eternity, there is an eternity. You must spend eternity somewhere. You must For you have a soul that's precious and imperishable. Tell me tonight, what are you doing with your immortal soul? Have you placed your trust in the finished work of Christ? You will spend eternity in one of two places. In heaven with Christ or in hell without Christ. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. It is either paradise or perdition. It is glory or gloom. Where you spend eternity will be determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. You ever think of what the Lord Jesus did for you? He came to save you. He died to save you. He shed His blood to save you. He rose to save you. He lives to save you. He's here to save you. Why did the Lord Jesus die? He died that we might live through Him. That's salvation. He died that we might live for Him. That's service. He died that we might live with Him. That's satisfaction. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Will you come to Christ? Will you come to the cross? Will you come now, just as you watch this video this evening? Will you say with Charlotte Elliott, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Will you come? Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for this simple testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus. Bless those who have watched it or listening to it. Draw some to the Savior. Restore the backslider, save the lost, and bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.